tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Good day, everybody. I hope everybody is having a wonderful day. I know by the time this show airs, Fourth of July has passed already. So I hope that you all enjoyed your Fourth of July. Have fun. Hope you have enough drinks in your system. Enough good food to eat. All the great stuff, okay? Celebrating America's 250. Yeah, that's a blessing. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's a blessing. But on today's show, though, this is going to be a dark, dark episode today. Right? My first topic that I really want to talk about. I'm going to tell you something real quick. I work so far as a hospital security guard. Yeah, I work as a hospital security guard in an emergency room. And I see a lot that goes on within the emergency room. Those doctors, those nurses, those paramedics, they do some hard work, wonderful work to try to save human lives. Imagine a mother coming into the ER, her son had just been transferred to the ER by ambulance. She comes into the ER. She's crying in real time while her son is dying. While her son is dying in real time. You know, because normally, you know, when you see a parent or somebody crying for someone, that's after the fact in most cases, right? Unless you're actually there. You know what I mean? At the funeral, at the wake, whatever. But imagine in real time, your son, 21 years old, you don't birth that child. And the child is dying while you're out there in the ER, don't know what's going on at all. And you see that as a security guard, right? Because you have to vet, no matter how hard it is, you have to vet everybody that come in to your emergency room. Because anything could happen. You know what I mean? You got to make sure you search everybody, you check everybody. All of that stuff, right? But imagine you check. You know, then you try to calm the mom down, trying to calm her down, so you get all the information you can of the person's name. But she's so hysterical, so hysterical that, you know what I mean, you can't really make out what she is saying. That's what happened last week. That's why I had to talk about this, right? When I come to the ER that I worked in, I mean, we get gunshot wounds all the time with GSWs all the time that come into our ER. But this one really hit different. Because at the time, I was there working on that shift. You know what I mean? And I still can't stop thinking about that poor mom who lost a child because of gun violence. Two other people came in, said ER within an hour, same ER, stab wounds all over the body, not knowing if they're going to make it either. I don't know if these crimes were connected, but it seemed very close, right? It seemed very close. when I see his these type of things, young black men dying because of gun violence. No, a life is lost. Maybe two lives are lost. Because the person that pulled the trigger will get caught and will go to jail. And in most cases, for the rest of their lives. So now, two young lives are lost. Two mothers lost their children. One to the grave and the other to the system. Do you know how heartbreaking that is? Right? Charlemagne from the Breakfast Club, one thing he always say, do not make permanent decisions based on temporary feelings. And that is so, so true. These young black men on the streets doing God knows what, in the early 20s, doing God knows what. Who knows how the argument went, if there was gang members, I don't know. That's not for me to decipher at all. But these young brothers, man, get murdered on the streets, right? That's heartbreaking. Black people out there, we need to do better. We can't just be killing each other off. Pretty soon, there won't be enough black American men. Notice, I said black American men here in America. All you're doing is killing each other off. If you don't realize this, right? Black people have been 12% in America, the population in America, 12%. This number probably has been going on for the past half a century. 12%. We were the minority in America. But we are not the minority anymore. We are the lesser minority, right? The Latinos, they outnumber us now here in America. Y'all don't realize that. All we are doing is just killing each other, murdering each other on the streets. When can we see a change in the black community, in the hood, as y'all like to say, the ghetto, all across America, right? In the ghettos of America, when can we see a change? Huh? Why can't we do something different, ghetto kids, ghetto boys and girls? Why can't we do something different? Just because you're from the hood, right? That should not define who you are. That should not define what you will be in the future. It's just a damn zip code. It's just a number. Okay? Yes, I get it. You can't help the zip code that you were born into. Get that. But you can help and control your future of which other zip code you want to live in to the future, right? And sometimes I think, and it might sound crazy to some of y'all, right? First of all, I got to say this. We can't depend on the government. You cannot depend on the United States government to save you. You know what I'm saying? To them, you're just another number. To them, you serve better in jail anyway. Not even there, in jail. Because now, they got you as a slave. Because now they could make you do things that you would never do on the outside if they choose to. Right? Then what you gonna do? You know what I mean? when these big ass armed guys have guns over your head, say, hey, you need to do this crap. There's nothing that you can do about it. But oblige, you know what I mean? Back in the days of slavery, you used to call the slave owners massa, massa. Yes, massa. Now today, in modern day slavery, you're calling those correction officers massa too. You just don't know it. Because they are your massa. Because once you having that number, once you have that number, right? They own you. You can be hard in jail all you want. You see what I'm saying? Hard all day, but you know what I mean? You're not going to be hard when it comes to those COs. Even if you say, you know, I'm going to be valid, I'm going to beat one some of this butt. You might get away with, you might get away with hurting one or two COs, right? But guess what, though? The only thing that's going to do is add more time to you anyway, to what you got on anyway. So either or, they're owned regardless. And the only way out is death anyway. Especially if you have life in prison without the possibility of parole. You might as well just die. Because your life is already over any damn way. Seriously. You know what I'm saying? Now, what benefit do you have now? You kill somebody, you're in jail, they control you. You see what happened, right? If I don't know if you're following the Julio, whatever this rapper's name, that trial. And the lawyer told, right, the lawyer said, right, because the death penalty was on the table. And the prosecutor said to the judge, we're not going to give him the death penalty. People in jail right now, they're getting older. So we need young people to do the work. Right? Lawyer said it could work for at least 40 years. Think about that. 40 years of slavery. Huh? Think about it. You're 21 years old. Let's say you're 25 years old. You done took somebody's life. Once you get caught and you get life without parole, at least 40, 50 years of your life, you're going to be busting your ass. And pray when you get older, right, in the jail system, the healthcare system is good, which I doubt it. See, y'all don't think about those type of things. Because if you spend 50 years in jail, eventually you're going to get old. Eventually you're going to get sick. You will. Right? Eventually you will. And all the only thing they're going to do is just the basic healthcare, just to patch you up. And bring your ass back, put your ass to work. But y'all don't think about those type of things, huh? So, young brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this, man. I want to see a change in my lifetime before I leave this earth. I want you to see a change across America in the black neighborhood, man. Right? I want to see that. And I know it can happen, believe it or not. I know that it can happen. It just takes the right young people to really make it happen. Black America, you don't realize something. That across the world, you set the trend. Right? Black Americans, you set the trend worldwide. When I was in South Korea, I'm telling you, and this shocked the hell out of me when I first saw this, right? I'm seeing young Korean kids, young adults, right? Loving hip hop. Talking, as they would say back in the day, Ebonics, slang, using the black slang, right? And there was no derogatory meaning. They were embracing the black culture, right? They dress like how black people dress. listen to the music, all that, right? And even in the Korean accent, right? Talking the slang. You know what I mean? Had some of the young men at the time had the hair braided like a young black man would braid the hair. You see what I'm saying? A lot of them love the black culture. One time I was at a damn bar, a club in Korea, in Seoul, and the club was a hip-hop club, and most of the Koreans, 90% of people that were in the club were Koreans, and they were dancing to hip-hop music. I'll never forget this one young lady and her friends, man. Man, if I was a damn, and when I saw them, if I was a video producer or a video director, I would put these people in my video. In my music video, because the way they were dancing, they were actually dancing like professional dancers, man, to the music, right? That's how we, you as Black Americans, man, have the trend, right? Make trends worldwide, because they see you, right? So why not make a change now? Why not make a change? And I'm telling you, right, how we can do it. To the change. You can't beat the system. You can't. The system is designed to really put you down as a black man, right? When it comes to all the redlining, the redistricting, all that stuff, right? They're hard back in the days to get loans from banks and all that stuff, right? It's designed to keep you down. So why not be the change within the system? You know what I mean? You can only control your AO, area of operation. That's it. So you're living in a little hood, right? You got Google these days. You could Google some public office that you can run for. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, I had to look this up about 6 months ago when I moved to Colorado, right? And then, if I run for public office, right? You know what I mean? I can't afford like to run to the front of, or at least for now, for mayor or something like that, a big office, but I could run for like a small office, like a city council or something like that, something within the system, right? And a 401, I can't remember what office it was, but it was like part-time, and it only cost like, at least to get started, $1,500, right? You know what I'm saying? To run for, right? And like, imagine if a lot of young people out there now decide to do that, right? Or a young woman, young men out there, the young single moms, especially you single moms, excuse me, because you could be the change. We need you, your mothers, we need you. Ladies, men, we need you, seriously. Right? Run for a little public office. And then you can help the youth because that's coming behind you, maybe some of your peers, to get off the streets. One person alone can't do it. It takes a group of young black men, young black women to really do this, right? Imagine 5, maybe 10 of y'all from your city running for different offices, right? Some might win, some might lose. But you're out there doing the work. You know what I mean? Even if you lose, right, that could put a fire in your eyes to even go even bigger. You see what I'm saying? And then you post everything that you do online. Positivity, right? You post positivity all across America. No, I'm seeing this trend. I'm seeing it trending. Then CNN and Fox News get a hold of it because y'all young black people out there are doing the work. There one time, maybe some years ago, I saw this young black kid, 18 years old, the youngest mayor in America, 18, a black kid. It doesn't matter if he lived in a small town or not. He's still mayor. See what I'm saying? I'm telling you, young people, y'all can do this, right? You know what I mean? The street life, yeah, some of y'all glorify the street life and love the street life, but the street life do not love you back. The only thing the street life does is cause death and destruction. You know what I mean? What can you do, right? Clean up your neighborhood, right? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever thought about, hey, let's fix our neighborhood? This is where we live at. Let's fix it. Let's get a group of guys together, work together, right? Try to get some money, get some loans, make sure your credit's good, get some loans, and buy up some of those homes within your neighborhood. But you know what I mean? So the other man don't come in your neighborhood because they see potential and try to buy up the houses, and then now they're pricing you out off your neighborhood. Look at what's going on in Harlem. How they're pricing some of them people out of their neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? They're re-gentrifying Harlem, New York, and some parts of Chicago. I'm telling you. That's what's going to happen. Then where are you going to go again? If y'all just killing each other off on the streets. Right? If y'all just killing each other. Do you think that's okay? We got to start doing better for the young people. You know what I mean? Even when I was a young kid, I saw the two young black boys getting murdered. You know what I mean? On the streets. Sometimes I think about certain things. The Ben Crumps, the Tamika Mallory, those type of people, right? They're quick to get on national TV, on the national news, even the NAACP, all of them, to get on the national TV, national news, when a white person, right, killed a black person. And when a police officer, when a white police officer killed an unarmed black person, right? They're quick to come on TV and talk trash. But why not do the same when another black man is dying from the hand of another black man? You see what I'm saying? Why don't they do that too? Why don't they talk about that? The NAACP, Ben Crump, Tamika Mallory. It doesn't matter. It's too much. I don't give a damn. We have a lot of activists all across America. Those are the things we need to talk about. Right? And we need to stop talking about, what the white man did to us 50 years ago. I mean, okay, still speak on it. But now, what we're going to do to fix it? Y'all people have the power. Y'all got the voices. You know what I mean? What we're going to do to fix the situation? To get these young brothers and sisters off the streets? How can we catch the young children when they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old before the streets get them? How can we get them? Huh? How can we invest in the future of our youth? That's what I want to hear from these so-called, they're, because they're actually doing the work, from these activists. You know what I mean? That's what I want to say. How can we invest in a lot of their mental health? Because there's a lot of times, a lot of them dealing with trauma, right? How these people get the guns on the streets? Huh? How these guns come into the black neighborhoods? Huh? Those are the type of things we need to talk about, we need to discuss. Why is it, right, another black man feel the need to pull the trigger to kill another black man? Why is that? Why do they feel the need, I got to murder this guy? Because he don't say something to me I don't like. Or he don't beat my ass. So I got to pull the trigger and end his life. That ain't cool, man. Because they'll call you in another man's life. Your life has just ended too. Because there's no statutory, or whatever they call, on murder. Right? That's there for life. So, What can we do to really fix the situation? How can we bring things in the black neighborhood to keep the young kids busy? Huh? The young children busy. You see what I'm saying? When I see people like Snoop Dogg, this Luke LeCampbell from the Zoo Life Crew, and when I see those men are doing the work, but it's just a few of them, right? They can't do it all. You see what I'm saying? Because of Snoop, because of Luther Campbell, they done took a lot of brothers off the streets. A lot of young men off the streets with their football program that they got going on. You know what I mean? So guess what? We need to create more programs across America to give these young children hope. That's why a lot of them bring guns. A lot of them do not have hope. Right? A lot of them don't feel that it's necessary that they're going to live past the age of 18. I've heard people say that. I've talked to young brothers that joined the military were smart enough to join the army when I was their leader. A lot of them told me, right, that Sergeant Harris. Well, I'm so glad I made it out of the hood. Cause I never thought I was going to live to see 18 years old. Think about that, man. A young brother talking that way, that he never thought he was going to live to see the age of 18. You know what I mean? All the young sisters out there, young ladies out there, you too could be the change. Just because right now you get a little bit of help from the government, so what? See what I'm saying? You have plenty of time. Some of y'all don't work. I don't work full time, right? So a lot of y'all have a lot of time when y'all kids are in school. Y'all can be on the computer doing the research, figure out, wait, what can we do? What can we do to help out our young kings? Huh? Come on, queen. Young queens. Let's talk about it. Right? What can we do as young women, young black women, to help out the young black men out there so they don't die off? What can you do to help out the father of your child that's still in the streets? Huh? Your baby daddy that probably gonna end up losing his life because he's in the damn streets. Even if y'all not together anymore. But you don't want him to die. You don't want him to go to jail. You want him to be there for his child. You know what I mean? But if the young brother is still in the streets, right, and you the baby mama, 9 times out of 10, either going to get locked up or you're going to go to jail. And then he's still going to be a single mama regardless. So guess what? Sometimes with women, y'all got to do the work, man. Black women, historically in America, have been saving this country. Look it up. The history from the women's movement of the late 1918 to the like early 1920s, right? To all to the civil rights movement. You see what I'm saying? Black women of today's time, when will you all have your own movement today? Right? To save the black men. Because they need you. Right? They might not act like they do, but they need you. I'm telling you something, man. These young black men need you. I'm telling you. Because if not, and you know who y'all are going to be dealing with in the future? You're probably your grandbabies. Spanish men, white men, foreign men, African men, you see what I'm saying? European men. The black race is going to die out. Y'all don't realize that, right? Because it's not the women that's killing each other. It's the black men killing each other. You know what I mean? Everything about black people killing each other, right? very is a very small percentage of black women that kill each other. So I'm saying it's a very high percentage of black men that's killing each other. And pretty soon there's not gonna be no black men in this country, right? And these black women are gonna get smarter, which I do believe. That's gonna be like, I don't want to deal with this shit. I don't want to deal with this dude trauma. Trust me, I'm at work. I work right now. I'm talking to these young women, 23, 24 years old, telling me that, right? That I'm tired of dealing with these men trauma. So what do you think they're gonna start doing? Once they wise up, they're gonna start dating outside the race, right? They're gonna start meeting the white man that probably grew up, probably middle class. See what I'm saying? Gotta get tired of these ghetto ass dudes who ain't doing nothing. We ain't providing. All they do is cause the harm in the neighborhood. That's all they're doing. So a lot of these black women, I'm telling you, in the future, it could be your black daughter, your black granddaughter. Because you don't see they're watching each generation, the young generation of women are getting smarter. Right? Because when you think about it, right? When I grew up in the 80s, right, and the 90s, you see a lot of these black women have multiple baby daddies. Three and four, five different baby daddies. It's still happening today, but it's not as prevalent as it used to be. You don't see a lot of black women today having a whole bunch of baby fathers. It's not happening like it used to be, because black women are getting smart. And each generation, they're gonna learn from the previous generation. Y'all don't see that shit. I see it. I see the future. You black men, let's love the streets. Like y'all gonna be some old, lonely ass men. Cause ain't a woman gonna deal with you. I'll deal with your damn trauma. Right? If you don't deal with your trauma will deal with you. Now, with all that being said, right? Now lead me to my next story. Now, I don't know if y'all heard about this, but this happened a few weeks ago, right? There was a tragic incident that captured national attention, man, about a one-year-old child that lost his life during a police encounter that began with a report of alleged shoplifting at Walmart. I think it happened in Mississippi. Now, one of the workers there assumed that somebody was shoplifting. They called the police, right? They called the police. Police came. And how the story went, that the driver, of course, was in the driver's seat, the passenger and the baby was in the back seat, right? And the passenger of the car was the mother of the beautiful baby boy. Passenger now, wasn't even the driver. The passenger was the mother of the baby boy that got unalive. According to the story, they said that the driver was going toward the police, and the police opened fire. But according to them or whatever, because the baby got killed, and the driver was in critical condition at the hospital. I don't know if she's still living. I don't know. I wasn't really following the story. But the police officer opened fire, right? The mom said that they were going away from the police officer, right? My thing is, so was the police officer wrong for opening fire? Because believe it or not, in the police academy, right? Just like in the military, when I was in the military, they're trained to kill people. That's why they're trained. They're trained to kill your ass. When you really, you fucking people realize that shit, man. Whether he was in the wrong or not. If the motherfucker, if the damn cop tell you to stop. Stop. Because you would make it home. Hopefully. Right? If you comply with the police officer. You know what I mean? Eric Spears said something the other day online. The comedian Eric Spears. And he was talking about some people that was acting a fool when the police pulled him over. Right? And then the police had him in a chokehold. His girlfriend was recording. You dumb ass dudes. Dumb ass people. Stop acting that way, man. You know what I mean? Because right now, I got to be honest with you right now. Does the police officer take responsibility for brandishing his gun? Or those black people, right? I don't know if they were stealing. Maybe they wasn't stealing. They probably had the receipt. See what I'm saying? Or should the black people also take responsibility, even if they had a receipt for the diaper they were stealing? Right? That baby did not deserve a death penalty. And that's what happened. But can we put all the blame on the cop itself? See what I'm saying? When will black people also take responsibility of the thing that they do? You know what I mean? When the police officer said stop, were they still driving the car? See what I'm saying? Were they still driving? Were they driving toward the police officer? Even though, right, it might be going into, let's say the police officer's right here and the car is to the right of the police officer. Not gonna hit the police officer. No way. Not gonna hit the police officer, right? Shouldn't you have to stop? All those questions, right? That we need to ask. Ask ourselves. So eventually we're gonna know. I'm hoping the story do not die down at all until the facts come out. I want to see the full body camera footage, dash cam footage, the Walmart surveillance video, right? Witness statements, physical evidence that was from the scene. You see what I'm saying? All the stuff that I want to see before I really come to an actual judgment. Because either or, I'm judging. Whether I'm judging the police officer, or I'm judging those two women. You see what I'm saying? I already know. I'm thinking this, right? If a person called a police officer, right? How far was those police officers from when they called? From when the person initially made a 911 phone call to police officers and said, somebody in my store is stealing. Because the people had time enough to get, had enough time to get to their car. You know what I mean? That mother, how the mother is going to feel losing her child to the friend, about the friend, not to the cop, the friend that put her and the child in danger. Huh? Think about that. Will that person be her friend again? See what I'm saying? Although she probably never meant for none of this to happen like that. You know what I mean? Will that person be her friend again? That's the type of things that we need to really consider, though. All those type of things. I'm telling you, man. Now, social media a lot of times play a crazy game with these type of stuff, right? The court of public opinion, man. I'm saying one of the biggest challenges in modern America is the court of public opinion. Before all the investigations get completed, people often choose sides. They always do. Some immediately believe the police, others immediately believe the family. Me, I don't think like that. I'm not gonna believe the damn family. I don't know these people. I'm not gonna believe them. I ain't gonna believe the cop. I don't know the police officer. I don't know these people. So why am I gonna believe them? Not until I see some kind of footage, something, so I can make up my mind. Social media does reward a lot of quick reaction rather than careful analysts. You know what I'm saying? A lot of emotional stories. People get so emotional when it comes to these stories. Oh man, the police officer then killed another black person. But this time it's a one-year-old child, right? You hear about those things all the time. You see what I'm saying? But you never get to realize when we as black people too is going to also take responsibility of the things that we do. Maybe if the woman never drove that car off, that baby would still be alive today. Those type of things, hey, I know, yeah, but our baby's lost his life. But you gotta ask a tough question, man. You can't sugarcoat these damn things, sir. You can't, don't call it black. You can't. You see what I'm saying? Because not all police officers are bad police officers, man. A lot of times they just get put in bad situations. You see what I'm saying? I would never believe that all police officers are bad. But a lot of times they're put in bad situations, and a lot of times we as black people too will make it bad for ourselves. A lot of times. Don't get me wrong now. I'm not saying sometimes you get pulled over by a racist cop. It happens all the time. And a lot of times they'll do things just for you to react so they can react to you. You see what I'm saying? So now they can be justified in doing what they do. But y'all don't see those type of things, right? Some of y'all getting pulled over by the police officer, you're acting in emotions. If a police officer said, he pulled you over and said, let me see your license and your registration. And then your first reaction is, I know my rights. I don't need to show you my damn license. Okay. Then you be a dead black ass dude, dead black female. Because now you're going to start escalating, right? If you feel as though your rights are being violated, being on the streets is not the way to handle the situation, right? Take it to the courts, the system. If you feel as though your rights are being violated, make complaints. Make a complaint against the damn officer. After you make it home. See what I'm saying? Because if an officer violates your rights, right? I guarantee you that an officer probably got a lot of complaints. Eventually, it might take some time, but eventually, officer will get fired. You know what I mean? And it feels like he's really brutalizing you. You go to court and sue the officer, right? I really believe there should be a way where it's easier to sue police officers than the state. You see what I'm saying? Make it easier if the police, right? But they still have like lawyers to help them because they're having lawyers very expensive, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But that's not a topic for another day. But I'm saying though, man, right? You want to make it home. Make it home, right? Comply with police officers, man. A poor one-year-old child is no longer here. One-year-old baby. A baby is no longer here. And that's got to think, too. How the police officer feels, too, man. About shooting, pulling up branches and weapon. Because think about it, right? This is Mississippi. Where they live at, probably they're not like a lot of major crimes. You see what I'm saying? So he probably not used to pulling on his damn weapon. And the first reaction is, when the car coming, I'm going to grab my gun and shoot your ass. and shoot at the car. But I didn't realize the baby wasn't even in the car. You know what I'm saying? You got to realize, too, police officers have to make split-second decisions, man. Because it could be them make it home to their family or you make it home to your family. Which one do you think they're going to choose? So I'm saying? Which one do you think they're going to choose? Them making it home or you making it home? If they feel as though their life is in jeopardy. Those are things we need to start thinking about, right? Now, these are some questions for the cops, for law enforcement, right? Was there the force necessary? Were there alternatives available? What did the officer perceive at the moment the decision was made? Could this tragedy have been prevented? What policies and training guide officers in situations involving moving vehicles, right? What kind of policies do they have? Do they have good policies? Now, this is a question for the family members too. What evidence supports their version of events? Why do they believe the police account is inaccurate? Why are they demanding the release of the video footage, right? What answers are they seeking from investigators? How should families be treated when they experience a tragedy of this magnitude, man? I'm telling you, right? Because when you think about certain things, like George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Tyree Nichols, Tamir Rice. Those damn names are synonymous with what black cops have done to black people. Right? But not all black cops are like vicious to that magnitude. Sometimes they do things where they have to make a split second decision. So, what can we learn from the police officers, right? Transparency builds trust. You know what I'm saying? What I think they should do when this type of tragedy happened, within 24 hours, the video camera, dash cam, whatever, should be released so we can see that shit. Right? They can still investigate. Because sometimes when the body cam, right, footage is not released, the first thing that comes to our mind that these lawyers, you know what I'm saying, are trying to protect the police officers. Trying to save face, protect the police officers instead of being transparent. Evidence should guide conclusions, man. Families deserve answers, point blank. You know what I'm saying? Officers deserve due process. Communities deserve accountability. Tell you, community deserves accountability. You know what I'm saying? One of the reasons this Mississippi has generated so much attention is because it touches on many of the large issues facing our country today. Let's take a step back and look at some of those broader concerns. Why is it so hard to trust these people, huh? Why is it so daggone hard to really trust these people? I'm telling you, man, when you're going to be confronted by police officers, young people, please comply. Please comply. Please comply to them. Because you want to make it home to your family. Don't argue with these cops. Because they got guns. Don't argue with them. Give them the necessary things. And if you're riding dirty, fuck it. You can just go take your ass to jail. Lock your ass up. but at least you'll be alive. You see what I'm saying? At least you'll be alive. Think about that. If you know you're riding dirty anyway, you ain't got a license, you ain't got any insurance on your car. This officer, arrest me. All right? Because at least you'll be alive. You know what I'm saying? Because you can always fix that later. You know what I'm saying? If you get your license back, you know what I'm saying? Make sure you get insurance on your car, all that stuff. All right, people? I'm telling you, man. I know today's episode has been was a dark episode. But I believe that these topics I've just talked about were necessary. I really believe that. It was necessary to talk about. Whether you want to talk about the hard topics or not, a lot of times we need to discuss these hard topics for real. I'm telling you. Okay? Thank you for tuning in to Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned in to Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.